We're going to try to cover more territory tonight. We've got to. Nobody wants to stay and study David the rest of time. Nobody cares about David that much. And so we're going to try to make more progress tonight if we can. But last time, when we looked at chapter 16, we've been looking at several different things, the different people throughout. And we began to look at Hushai, but we got sidetracked with Absalom because Absalom had... He's so intriguing to me. He's got some weird stuff going on. And when I look at Absalom, I am afraid because I see some of myself in him. And then I see the long hair and I say, nope, that's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. And so I'm relieved a little bit. But 2 Samuel 16, we're in a time of rebellion here. And we're following the story of Absalom's rebellion against his father. David was God's anointed king. And when Absalom rebelled against David... he was rebelling against God. And that's the difficult thing that we have. A wife will sometimes say, I'm not against the Lord, and I believe a wife should, you know, should obey her husband. I can't believe I just said that. It's scandalous. It's not that I don't believe the word of God. It's that it's this guy. Like, this guy is not, like, godly, because if he was godly, I could obey him. If he was right, like if he loved me the way the Lord said to love me, then I could do that. Well, you know, the husband's playing the same game. Like, I could lead her if she would love me the way she's supposed to be loving me, right? Both sides say, God, I would do what you say, except I can't. And guess why? It's the person that's in front of me. There's almost always a person involved in the problems of your life. What's really bugging you, almost always, is connected with a person. Now, it can also be, it could be you. You're the person that's the problem. Now, maybe it's your body. Your health is the problem. Maybe it's the health of someone else. But it's always connected, not always, but nearly always, with a person. And so when we're looking at Absalom's rebellion against David, it was truly his rebellion against God. What we looked at last time is why he felt justified in rebelling against God. He felt justified because there was an injustice done that was not dealt with. And so that's how we as adults, like when you're kids, you don't care. You just hit them in the face. You just take the toy and you just hit them on the head. But when you get older, you have to use more sophisticated reasons as to why you're not going to follow the Lord. And typically there's a seed of injustice that grows into a root of bitterness over time. And that's what Absalom had for sure. Because he hooks up, he connects with a man named Ahithophel. We've seen him before, but Ahithophel was also rebelling against the king because of bitterness in his heart, because of a seed of injustice that had grown. So let's look at chapter 16, verse 20. He's manipulating here. Ahithophel is about to manipulate Absalom. Then said Absalom to Ahithophel, "Give counsel among you what we shall do." Give counsel. Ahithophel had the gift of wisdom. He had been David's counselor for strategy. He had been shaping policy for the administration. But he had recently abandoned the palace at some point. He had abandoned the palace and he had abandoned David and he left Jerusalem and he went back to Gilo. If you look back at chapter 15, look at 15:12. It says, "And Absalom sent for Ahithophel the Gilonite, David's counselor, from his city, even from Gilo, while he offered sacrifices." Notice that Ahithophel was back in Gilo, his hometown. He was a Gilonite. He had been the counselor for David, his advisor, but now he's back. Now, the scripture doesn't tell us this explicitly, but when you go around and find this clue and that clue, you realize that Ahithophel was related to Bathsheba. Bathsheba was his granddaughter. And so the inference is that Ahithophel was very upset about David, but instead of throwing a fit, instead of going on strike, he just gradually backed away and he leaves Jerusalem and goes back to his hometown because he can't stand David. And he's got a good reason. David assaulted his granddaughter. And so you can understand why he is upset. He has a reason to be mad. But when Absalom calls him back to Jerusalem, he calls him back to counsel him, but to counsel him to help him in the way that he helped David. Ahithophel was brilliant. He was a very wise man. And I'm telling you, when you're in leadership, you look for wise people. And it's amazing how wise people often do not put themselves forward. That's how wise they are. They are just wise, and you somehow know that that person is wise. Thank God for wisdom. But wisdom can go either way. It can be used... Oh, wow. Man alive. I hope you're living right. I don't know what's going to happen tonight. Just be ready. But what's interesting about this is that carnal people have a way of finding carnal people. Absalom was bitter towards David over the assault on Tamar and the lack of justice. Ahithophel is bitter towards David because of the assault on Bathsheba and the lack of justice. And Ahithophel knew that David was guilty, and but instead of acting out and burning people's fields and causing problems and killing people, Ahithophel kept that bitterness in his heart, and he stored it down there, and it made it impossible for him to be around David. If chapter 12:15 is correct as far as him not being in town, I think it pushed Ahithophel away from David. Couldn't stand being around him. Could not stand being around him. And so he knew that something had to be done, but he was more professional than Absalom was. And he was going to destroy David, not by physically assaulting him, by he was willing to support those who would physically assault David. Right? So he's a little more professional and polished in his approach, but in his heart he's the same one. So Absalom and Ahithophel fed each other's carnal nature. I want to stop and say, just we haven't gotten very far yet, but we're going to. But notice that somehow or other, carnal found carnal. Be careful the people that you allow to counsel you. Be careful. And we're going to look at counsel here, good counsel versus bad counsel in this chapter. But just a thumbnail sketch, if the person that's counseling you always makes you feel like a bigger person when you walk away, they're probably not very wise. Because if you're coming to get counsel, you're coming to get wisdom. And sometimes wisdom has to sharpen you. And in order to sharpen you, it has to shave something off of you. And that means you are not right. You're wrong. Like, maybe you're right, but you need to be more right. And that means change, and that's friction. That's tough. So counseling is something that a good counselor is someone who is not doing it for your enjoyment. They're doing it for your good. And they truly want the best for you. Not what you want, but what is best for you. And a lot of wisdom is recognizing that everything that I want is not what's best for me. There's a difference between what I want and what God wants. What's the best and what I want are not always the same thing. In fact, they're never the same thing, okay? No, let's move on. Ahithophel. Ahithophel moved from godly counselor to evil counselor. So let's look at verse 21. Ahithophel said unto Absalom, here's his the vaunted counselor, the great wise man. Here's his wisdom. Go in unto thy father's concubines, which he hath left to keep the house. And all Israel shall hear that thou art abhorred of thy father. Then shall the hands of all that are with thee be strong. Now notice, he is telling him to go directly against the law of God. Deuteronomy 27:20. Cursed be he that lieth with his father's wife, because he hath uncovered his father's skirt. Directly, in Exodus chapter 20, the same thing. He is against the law. But Absalom was listening to this bad man because in his heart he already didn't care about what was right and wrong. He cared about what he wanted. Ahithophel didn't care about what was right and wrong. He cared about what he wanted. He wanted David dead. That's what I want. And I want David dead because he ought to be dead. He should not be alive. And here's the thing. Wrong and right and wrong went out the window a long time ago for Ahithophel. And you know why? Because he had something that was wrong. So therefore, he can do whatever he wants. It's interesting how we justify ourselves. It's scary. It's actually scary. Do you remember how Absalom killed Amnon because he had assaulted his sister, Tamar? You remember that? Here, Ahithophel is counseling Absalom to do almost exactly the same thing. The same thing that he murdered Amnon for doing, he's doing here. Now, you say, well, these are concubines. Hey, it doesn't matter. It was wrong for him to do this. That's why Ahithophel told him to do it. Because it was wrong. And in his mind, Ahithophel is thinking, I'm going to tell David to do this because David is going to hate him for that. Well, I would just take a quick time out and say, I'm not sure how concerned David was about these women. He left them behind when the enemies are coming in to attack the city. So I'm not sure. But Ahithophel's thinking, anything that hurts David is good in my book. Anything. And by the way, that's how you can know if there's bitterness in your heart. If you secretly hope people are getting hurt. If you secretly hope that something that happens gives someone their comeuppance. We've got to be careful of that in our hearts. Absalom was more than willing to oblige. So chapter 22, and if you stop and think about this, where is everybody in this story at the same time? You've got Hushai that's coming into town. You've got Absalom committing fornication. You've got David on the run. Just kind of think about how each of them are being affected. Verse 22. So they spread Absalom a tent upon the top of the house. And Absalom went unto his father's concubines in the sight of all Israel. The counsel of Ahithophel, which he counseled in those days, was as if a man had inquired at the oracle of God. So was all the counsel of Ahithophel, both with David and with Absalom. That's pretty good. David was counseling David. Now, at this point, David does not think the same about Ahithophel. And we know that. Why? Because he sends Hushai back in to counteract Ahithophel's wisdom. But the way that David thought of Ahithophel before all of this conflagration is the same way that Absalom thought about Ahithophel. Ahithophel was a guy that knew how to help people and to build a relationship with them, so much so that they looked at him as if God himself was speaking to them. And by the way, that's a very precarious position to be in. When people look at you as if God himself is speaking, I'm very scared about that because I know who I am. But I've heard people say, you know, sometimes I get confused. You know, is it the Lord or is it my pastor? You know, sometimes I think, you know, my pastor is my shepherd. I shall not want. Well, we got to be, let's not go overboard here, people. No man is anywhere near to Jesus Christ. But sometimes when we seek counsel, we can seek counsel almost in the place of God. We would rather talk to a really smart person than pray about it. We would rather someone just give us their gut instinct. And I don't know about you, sometimes I just want somebody to say, well, here's what you need to do, even if it's not right. I just want someone to say, da-da-da-da-da-da. And the danger of that is just because someone's smart doesn't mean that they're giving you counsel that's godly. Got to be careful with that. Now, verse 22, they spread the thing. They go up there at verse 23. This man here is now using his gifts that he had been using for God and the king. Now he's using him for rebellion. He got swept up. And look at 1531, if you would. 1531. Watch how the Lord works in this scenario. 1531. And one told David, saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. Watch what he does. You ever hear somebody say, did you hear that so-and-so doesn't like you? Did you hear that so-and-so doesn't think that you're doing a good job as a parent? You ever have somebody kind of like talk about what somebody else is talking about? Well, that's what they're saying here. Did you know Ahithophel is with the rebellion? Watch what David does. And David said, O Lord, I pray thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. And did God answer that prayer? Yes, he did. He answered it in the next verse. And it came to pass that when David was come to the top of the mount where he worshiped God, behold, Hushai the Archite came to meet him with his coat rent. And notice what he said, verse 34. He said, if thou return to the city and say unto Absalom, I will be thy servant, O king, as I have been thy father's servant hitherto, so will I now be also thy servant, then mayest thou for me defeat the counsel of Ahithophel. God answered his request. You ever, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard, and turn your cares into prayers. There, you feel the walls coming in on you, say, God, change their hearts. God, turn what they're trying to do that's evil, turn it around and don't let it be evil. David prays the prayer. God sends him a counselor that's going to be ultimately his salvation. Look, if you, I'm just going to read this verse to you, because this whole thing is a little bit weird. You ever watch the movie Freaky Friday? There's an old school one, there's a new one, and basically what happens is two girls, I think, is it a girl or is it the mother? They switch, I can't remember. But either way, two people switch. And now, isn't the mother and the daughter? Yeah, okay. And now the mother is a teenager and a teenage body, and the girl is the older one, the mom. So that's kind of the way I feel about this, because when you get into this thing, Hushai is the good guy who goes in as a double agent to talk to Absalom. Ahithophel was the good guy. David said, we took sweet counsel together, walked to the house of God in company. He, my own familiar friend in whom I trusted. He's the good guy. Now he's the bad guy. But when you come into chapter 16, Ahithophel gives good advice to Absalom to accomplish the bad thing that he wanted to do. Hushai gives bad advice to the guy who wanted to accomplish the bad thing. But it was actually, in his mind, it was good advice. It's like Freaky Friday. It's like, who's actually right? I'm going to look at this in a minute and basically talk about good counsel and bad counsel, but it's kind of the opposite. So can you hang with me? You've seen some crazy stuff before, so you'll be able to understand it. All right, so there's a verse in 1 Kings 22:22 where Ahab is talking about going into battle, and they bring out the prophets and say, should we go out to battle? And they're all like, you are the man, Ahab. Yes, you should go out to battle. And he's going out with the king of Israel as well, with the king of Judah. But they say, hold on a second, isn't there a prophet of God beside your rent-a-prophet people that you have here? Isn't there anybody else that can like tell us the actual word of God? And so he comes in, it's Micaiah, remember, 1 Kings 22? And Micaiah comes in and says, go for it, God's going to bless you. He said, stop lying, I know you don't like me, and I know you always prophesy against me. That's clue number one, by the way. When the preacher always says things that you don't like. That's clue number one. But he said, I know you always prophesy against me. Tell me the truth. And he said, here's the truth. The truth is, God sent lying spirits down into the mouth of those prophets. That's what happened. So the point that I don't want to belabor, but there is such a thing as God using evil spirits for his own good. It sounds weird, but look at Job. And you see what God did. God sent Job, Satan, down to Job to take everything but his life. God sent an evil spirit on Saul to trouble him. Why? Because God wants to get this thing accomplished to bring good to his people. And he will occasionally use people. And that's where I'm seeing Hushai as a double agent. Hushai, I think they call it in Hebrew or something. That's a great name, Hushai. But he's being used as a double agent. So when you're going into the scripture, you have to look at how God can even make the wrath of man to praise him. God can use evil spirits against even their will. He can tell them what to do and use them to accomplish his will. The Bible says, is there evil in the city and the Lord hath not done it? That is not that God is doing it. God has these angels and these beings that are there, God has a purer eyes than to behold evil, but he has the death angel that he can use. He uses these beings, and this is a side note from it. But in a sense, God is using a man who is a good man that is going in and he's doing what I think Hushai is deceptive. He's deceptive, and being deceptive is not right. But somehow or other, God uses even the wrongs to accomplish his will. That's a deep subject, I understand. But when you get into Scripture, you'll see it here and there. Not that God is evil, but that God has so much power, he can even use evil people to accomplish his will. So if you want more on that, let me know. I've got too much on that, but that's not the theme of it tonight. So here's Hushai going back in, the lying spirit, so to speak, and he's in the mouth of the prophets, and he's going to persuade him. Okay, let's keep going. Let's go back to chapter 17 now, 2 Samuel 17. Moreover, Ahithophel said unto to Absalom. Now notice, Absalom asked Ahithophel, what should I do? And Ahithophel said, go do this. But then Ahithophel continues. Ahithophel's not standing there waiting, saying, whenever he wants me, he'll call me. He's saying, I got another idea. Let me tell you what it is. Let me now choose out 12,000 men, and I will arise and pursue after David this night. This is his mission. This is his objective, his plan. He's going to under cover of darkness, and I will come upon him while he is weary and weak-handed. David is tired from his journey, and will make him afraid. David's emotionally worn out. Ahithophel's thinking, he's reasoning, he's got a major gap between he and his son. His heart is completely broken. He is a wreck right now. He is going to panic. If I come on him, he is going to freak out, and I'm going to beat him. And he said, and all the people that are with him shall flee, and I will smite the king only. This is his mission. This is all Ahithophel wants to do, is kill David. And notice this focused objective. And by the way, the simpler the mission, the better the chance that you're going to be able to carry it out. This is a very simple. 12,000 men are going after one man. We're not worrying about men, women, children, all that, soldiers, all those guys that are with them, the Ittites and, you know, the guys from Gath. Yeah, they can get killed if they want to. You know, it's like a guy in a movie, security guards. They always get killed. What happened to them? Nobody knows. They're dead. And that's what they're thinking. I'm going after one man, and I'm going to kill him. This is a very clean mission. And he says, I'm going to smite the king only, verse 3. And I will bring back all the people unto thee. The man whom thou seekest is as if all returned, so all the people shall be in peace. This plan is what the military might call an immediate surgical strike. We're going to go. Remember when President Trump sent in planes into Syria and that surgical strike? That's this kind of a thing. Or when we got Osama bin Laden or Hussein and that kind of a thing. He said, I'm going to eliminate David. We don't need to drag this thing out into a long civil war and create all kinds of problems in this society. Just he's the guy that has to die. Absalom, you know he needs to die. I know he needs to die. Let's go get him. And Ahithophel puts himself at the center of this. He says, I'll do this. I'll kill him. And in this, if you look at verse 14, you can see what kind of advice the narrator called. verse number 14, it says, the Absalom and all the men. No, there it is. The Lord calls it. The Lord, verse 14 in the middle, the Lord had appointed defeat the good counsel of Ahithophel. Now, was this good or bad? Well, of course, they're killing the king of Israel, God's chosen king. It's a bad. But as far as getting the guy dead, this was a good plan. This was really simple and sleek. It was not honorable, but it was a good plan. Now, he proposes here, by the way, to kill David. And that's the one thing that David refused to do to Saul. He would never lift his hand against the Lord's anointed. But Ahithophel did not have the heart of David. Hold your place in 2 Samuel and look at chapter Matthew 26. We've looked at this about how David is going up to the Mount of Olives and how he's leaving Jerusalem just like Jesus did the night of his crucifixion, a night before. And he's there in Garden of Gethsemane and all of that. But look at 26:30, Matthew 26:30. Really interesting tie-in here. And when they had sung an hymn, this is Jesus, as they left the Passover supper there in the upper room. And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. Nobody else got killed that night. None of the 12 apostles, but Jesus did, and the flock was scattered. And then, if you would, look at John 11:49. John 11:49, there seems to be a tie-in here with Caiaphas as well. John 11:49, and one of them, named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, ye know nothing at all. The council that's happening at this time is that everyone's saying we need to put Jesus to death, and they're trying to figure out how to do it. But he said, listen, you know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people and that the whole nation perish not. It's almost exactly what Ahithophel said to Absalom. There's so many tie-ins as you go in. We got some more to go to as well. Let's go back to 2 Samuel 17. 2 Samuel 17, 4, and the saying pleased Absalom well and all the elders of Israel. There's unanimous agreement about this plan. Then said Absalom, call now Hushai the Archite also, and let us hear likewise what he saith. Now this is just a Johnny-come-lately walking in the door, and for whatever reason, Absalom decides, I want to hear what he has to say too. And here is where the story turns. And when Hushai was come to Absalom, Absalom spake unto him, saying, Ahithophel has spoken after this manner. Shall we do after his saying? If not, speak thou. Now notice, when Hushai comes in, Absalom could have said to him, he could have said what he said to Ahithophel, give counsel. But he doesn't. What does he say? He said, this is what Ahithophel said, but what do you say? And this is actually, this is huge for Hushai. Because there's nothing better than knowing the other guy's game plan. Remember back when Pharaoh's trying to get his dreams interpreted, or was that Nebuchadnezzar, trying to get his dreams interpreted? And he said, tell me what my dream is. Who was that? Yeah. And he said, well, he said, the wise men said, well, give us a clue. Like, what was your dream about? And he's like, no, I'm not telling you. You tell me what my dream was about. And then give me the interpretation. And, of course, you're at a great disadvantage if you have to both tell what the dream was about and what the I don't even know what my own dreams are. And so here in this case, Hushai has a huge advantage because he gets to hear what the other guy said. And he gets to make his plan about this, around it. So Absalom lays out the plan, and then he asks for the second opinion. And he gives Hushai the opportunity to poke all kinds of holes in the plan. And there's a principle here that is important. Don't miss it. And that is this. You got to kind of think backward now. Absalom was receiving at the beginning, for his purposes, what kind of counsel, good or bad? The first person came in and gave him what kind of counsel? Good counsel. This plan would have worked. No question about it. David is feeling vulnerable. 12,000 men versus one man. Good chance it was going to work. Okay, they're all at the cover of night. They're all running away. They're discouraged because the king's discouraged, right? It would have worked. So it was good counsel. The second guy comes in, and he is going to give different counsel, the opposite counsel. So the principle is this. Even though I know we're looking at this thing backwards, but we can still see it here. When we receive wise counsel and we fail to act upon it, we open ourselves up to bad counsel. And bad counsel that will convince us that it's good. So we have good counsel that God trusts us with and says, here's your counsel. And we say, I don't want that counsel. Or, hold on, I mean, I understand, but let me think about it. Let me get a second opinion. And we go to the second opinion. What we're actually doing is we're opening ourselves up to being tempted and allured and maybe even drawn away of our own lusts. It's easier to be deceived when you reject good counsel. So by questioning the good counsel, he opens himself up to bad counsel. Now we understand this is bad counsel for Absalom, but good counsel for David. See, the Lord is behind all of this stuff, and that's why double agent things are so crazy. Verse 7. And Hushai said unto Absalom, the counsel that Ahithophel hath given is not good at this time. He didn't say it was bad counsel. This guy is good. He knows how to do it. He said, it's not good at this time. He says no in a positive way. He says, yeah, but no. And so then he goes on, and he starts to give him bad counsel. I want to show a couple things that I think are here that are indicators of bad counsel. Number one, bad counsel plays on fears. Hushai pokes holes here in the plan by inciting fears in his heart. that had no foundation in reality. So let's look at what they were. Verse 8. For said Hushai, thou knowest. Thou knowest. First of all, Absalom, you know this in your heart. You know this to be true. You ever have somebody say that to you? You know that what I'm saying is true. That doesn't make it true. Because somebody says it that in that searching way. Absalom, you know. Right? Then he says what? You know what? That thy father and his men, that they be mighty men, and they be chafed in their minds as a bear robbed of her whelps in the field. He plants a seed of doubt. And the question is this. What if you can't beat him? Absalom, what if you can't? You know your dad is the man. What if you can't beat him? Hold on a second. Are you trying to help me or hurt me? Right? But that's what he's doing. He's planting a seed of fear. David was at, he was saying, what if you can't beat him? But David was at a really low point, maybe his most vulnerable point at this time. But he's planting a seed of fear. Counsel, bad counsel plays on your fears. Here's another question. And thy father is a man of war, and he will not lodge with the people. Behold, he is hid now in some pit or in some other place. What if you can't find him? What if he is so well camouflaged that you bring all the military out there and you can't even find him? You know, Saul looked for David for years and couldn't find him. So maybe your dad is really good at hiding. Now, this is bad counsel. And again, you got to think kind of twisted about this. And he says, verse number 9, and it will come to pass when some of them be overthrown at the first, that whosoever heareth it will say, there's a slaughter among the people that follow Absalom. And he also that is valiant, whose heart is as the heart of a lion, shall utterly melt. For all Israel knoweth that thy father is a mighty man, and they which be with him are valiant men. He's now talking about what will happen to other people. How will people feel if you lose? What's going to happen to other people? He said, you know that people are going to talk and that people are going to start saying, wait a second, the word's going to get out that you're a loser, Absalom. You see how he's playing on his fears? What's he trying to do? He's trying to get him not to go out. And so he tells him the dangers of going out and how great his father is and how he is incapable of dealing with his father. That's bad counsel. It's good counsel for David's sake, but it's bad for Absalom. Why? Because instead of talking about the fact that the truth of the matter, what's going on, he paints a picture not from a standpoint of just be careful because here's some things you need to know. No, he says, you can't do this because here are the reasons why it will not work. Bad counsel is that which plays on your fears. If you go to somebody and you say, I'm trying to get some perspective. Well, you got to be careful of this. You got to be careful of that. You got to be careful of that. I don't know. And you walk away feeling debilitated. And you walk away feeling like, I better not do anything. I'm not sure that's good counsel. Good counsel is balanced. Good counsel says, you have power and strength, but you've got to be careful of this. God has made you for this time. You can make it through this, but you got to be careful of this. But when you, and by the way, that's why it's so dangerous to listen to our own self-talk, because we destroy ourselves, don't we? We attack ourselves. And by the way, if you're not mean to yourself, it's because you think too much of yourself. There's a balance there. You've got to be able to hear, yes, there's some danger, but what Hushai is doing is one objective. Just like Ahithophel had one objective, to kill David, Hushai had one objective, buy time. That's all it was. But I just found it so interesting to think about how bad counsel actually works. So that's what David needed was time. So you got to beware of counsel that plays on your fear, an unfounded fear. And then also bad counsel will appeal to pride. Bad counsel will go one of two directions. It'll go either you're the man, you can do it all, or you're not capable of doing this. Some of us live based on counsel that we got from our parents when we were young. Some of you may have had a mom that said, you're not good enough. Or maybe your parents said, you're a mistake. or someone in your childhood made you feel that you're not good enough or that you can't do this and this is wrong and so forth. Listen, we all have things that we heard when we were kids. How do we know if it were true or not? Not based on how influential that person was in our life. That does not make it true. How do you know whether something is true or not? You got to look in the Bible and see if, in fact, what that teacher told you when you were in fifth grade is true. Not if she was powerful and influential in your life. Not what your friends said to you. We all have these little things that we live. Bad counsel plays on your fears. Good counsel says, listen, here's something to remember as you go out. But Hushai basically was turning Absalom around, up and down. Because watch what he says, verse 11. Therefore, I counsel that all Israel be get generally gathered unto thee, from Dan even to Beersheba, as the sand that is by the sea for multitude, and that thou go to battle in thine own person. He said, Absalom, I think you're the man. You need to take charge of this yourself. And they need to see you. You need to do a draft, like a national draft, from north, south, east, and west, and bring everybody in. Verse 12, so shall we come upon him in some place where he shall be found. Notice how Ahithophel was saying, I'm going to do all this. And Hushai saying, we're going to do this. And Absalom needed that. Absalom had to have people around him. He always had to have this posse with him. And he said, we will light upon him as the dew. And now he's going to paint flowery lilies. It's like watching a Disney movie. As the dew falleth on the ground, and of him and of all the men that are with him there shall not be left so much as one. Moreover, if he be gotten into a city, then shall all Israel bring ropes to that city. And we will draw it into the river until there be not one small stone. What is this guy talking about? But you see how he's painting this glorious picture. And he said, you could never go and do what Ahithophel said. That would never work. But what I do, you do with me, is going to be amazing. It's going to be the magic kingdom all over again. And Absalom and all the men of Israel said, the counsel of Hushai the Archite is better than the counsel of Ahithophel. But notice this, for the Lord had appointed to defeat the good counsel of Ahithophel, to the intent that the Lord might bring evil upon Absalom. Now, this is eloquent propaganda. But the truth is, this advice was not better than the first counsel. It sounded better. You see the difference? It wasn't better, but it sounded better. That's what propaganda is. Propaganda is a poster of an Aryan soldier that looks like the ultimate example of humanity, but not telling the fact that that person is committing atrocities. So here's the propaganda. He's saying the counsel here is that Ahithophel gave, it's just not good at this. You got to be positive with propaganda. You got to be positive. And then you appeal to this fear of everything falling apart and people laughing at you and making fun of you and you not being the man. And then you talk about the ego, the person's own interest in himself. This is going to be really, really cool. You're going to be amazing. You got to use oratory. And what is it? Romans 11 or Romans talks about good words and fair speeches. And that's what he's using here. And it is effective. But notice that behind all this, and we got to hurry up and finish, behind all this, the question is why? Why did Absalom seek a second opinion when he had elders who stood with him? Everybody said Ahithophel's counsel is good. Why did he have a second opinion? I think it's because of God. That's why. And I want to remind you, I didn't put the verses in here, but there are times in the world in which you're pretty sure that the evil man has this whole thing wrapped up. There's no escape. It's when you start talking about conspiracies and, you know, all of these things about there's people in dark corners somewhere, and back in the 1960s or 1870s, they got together and they decided how the world would go. And that's how we feel sometimes. I mean, this whole thing was tied up, but why did Absalom stop and say, I want a second opinion? Because of God. That's why. Notice that God is restraining evil, and he's doing it in several ways. He's restraining evil by direct action. He's restraining it by secret action. Absalom is the great deceiver, but he is himself deceived. Why? Because of God. because of God. How does God deal with a guy who comes in and pretends he exalts himself and pretends that he is God, just like Absalom? Remember 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. The Antichrist comes into the temple of God and he sits down and he says, I am God. How in the world are we going to deal with that? Well, here's what happens. The Lord is going to destroy him with the spirit of his mouth. Not only that, and for this cause, it says in verse 11, for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. That's exactly what God did with Absalom. He sent him strong delusion. He couldn't handle it. Absalom was upset, was mad. He had one thing on his mind, to kill David. A guy comes along with a perfect plan to kill David. And he goes, I want a second opinion. Why? Because man is not in charge of this world. That's why. No group of men or women getting together will overturn the plan of God. God is in charge. And God can use a man to come in and give exactly the opposite counsel. And for some inexplicable reason, he decides to go with it. Why? Because God's in charge. We got to remember this when we're watching the news. We got to remember this when we're looking at Drudge Report or whatever kooky websites that we go to. We've got to remember this. God is in charge. Are people bad? Yes. Should they be stopped? Yes. Should you be a Hushai? Maybe you should. Maybe you should be a double agent. Some of you are double agents in your work. They don't realize that you are a force for righteousness. And I'm not saying that they don't know you're a Christian. They don't realize how you are restraining evil in your workplace. You are being used of God. But don't forget that God is in charge, that God put you there, God can keep you there, and God is not afraid of what man will do. We've got to remember that. He uses direct action. He uses courageous people like Hushai. He uses people like Pharaoh's daughter who saved the life of Moses. He used the widow of Zarephath who saved the life of Elijah. And here we have Hushai who saves the life of God's anointed. How? By being a double agent. Thank God for people who stand against the wickedness of this world. Thank God for them. And I'll tell you one other way that God is really going to make this thing happen, by bringing back his anointed king. He is going to bring his king back to Jerusalem. And so here we have this story of Absalom, who is on the throne and he has the ultimate counselor, just like Jesus Christ is on this earth. And he has his friend who has betrayed him, my own familiar friend. It says there in the Gospels in John where he said, my own familiar friend hath lifted up his heel against me. He's talking about Ahithophel in the Old Testament. Jesus Christ was betrayed by Judas Iscariot. And what's interesting is we see here in verse number 15 what happens that all the way down through. We don't have the time to go through it here, but at the end of this, we find that Ahithophel decides, my counsel is not followed. And what does he do? The same exact thing that Judas Iscariot did. He went out and hanged himself. You see, God is in control of this, and he's going to bring his anointed king. What happens in 2 Thessalonians, we're talking about how the Antichrist sits down in the temple of God saying, I am God. And then the Lord sends strong delusion that people would believe a lie. And then what happens? It says, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. He will overthrow the powers of darkness with his breath, with his words, and with his appearance. They say half of life is just showing up. Well, half of the victory here is just Jesus showing up. And the rest of it is his words. He blows on them and they're done. This is not like, I hope Jesus wins. No, God is giving a lot of leash. A lot of leash. This thing is going to be wrapped up and God is in charge of it all. So imagine here, David returning and it's just like Jesus Christ, the return of God's anointed king. That is the ultimate answer to evil. That's what it is. It's not you and I. Hey, we need to do what we can do. If we need to be Hushai and we need to go into a wicked city with wicked people and do the bidding of our king, then so be it. Let's do that. We do it as long as the king wants us to do it. But the answer is not me killing Ahithophel and me getting everybody out of the city. The answer is the king coming back, and he will be coming back. Now, we notice here, for sake of time, we won't do it, but notice Hushai sets up a communication system and he tells them, look, guys, Jonathan, Ahimaaz, you guys go down there. Notice a wench is used in verse 17. Wonderful word. A wench. And she goes, and I'm not a wench, I'm your wife. No, that's a different thing. And she goes down and she helps these guys and they get the communication down there. And notice that Hushai has a plan to communicate with the king, though he does not know exactly how it's going to go. And it reminds me just like what Haman and Esther. Esther came and told Mordecai, her uncle, and said, here's what I told the king. I don't know how it's going to go. You guys need to pray. I've got this plan, but you guys need to pray. Get all the Jews to pray. And so it's a step of faith. So Hushai says, I said this, but I don't know how it's going to go. And we see the end of the story, so we're like, it's going to be fine, don't worry. But you can imagine the intrigue and the fear that's happening, the anxiety of what's going to take place. Verse 23, we find that Ahithophel's counsel is not followed. He hangs himself. And then we find that David comes into Mahanaim, and Absalom passes over Jordan, and they're coming after David. We'll pick that up again next week, Lord willing. But you notice throughout this whole story, you'll see complete end of the road. This is the cul-de-sac of my life. David is up against the wall. There's no hope. And then God brings someone to help him. And then he goes back into the deep, dark valley and the whole thing is almost over. And then God brings someone to help him. He refreshes him. Up and down with the king is what he says later on. Up and down with the king. That's what our lives are like. We're up and we're down. But ultimately, we know the Lord is going to bring us through this. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. The Lord is with you, even though you're going to go through some really dark times. Very difficult. But the Lord is with you. And ultimately, he is going to return. That is just as real as 2024 Trump. It's more real. Because we're not talking about an 80-year-old person. We're talking about Jesus Christ, the Ancient of Days, who is the same yesterday and today and forever. And he said, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And his promise is true. And he is coming. And that is going to be a blessing because it's going to fix all of your problems. But right now, the knowledge that he's going to fix it all will help you walk from day to day. I can't borrow trouble for the rest of my life and say, Lord, give me grace. I just need grace for today, taking that step. And while we're walking, be careful of the counsel that you get. Make sure that it's not just something that makes you feel good. Make sure that it's something God wants you to have.